Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, Father, bless your son. You have blessed your son, but we ask that you would just pour out a special grace on him right now, God. Lord, we open our hearts to receive every word that you are speaking through your son's mouth and through his heart. And we receive it, and we honor him, and we bless you, Lord, and we honor your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to grab this stool because I worked a little over 12 hours yesterday putting a chicken coop together, and I'm dead. All right. I feel like it anyways. So now I look like a child. Yeah. So it's kind of cool because, oh, wow, nice. Whoa, sorry, Braden. I also broke a rocking chair, I think, that's in the prayer room, so I'm on a roll. So it's awesome what God does, because my effort at continuing our quote-unquote series, if you will, on the Holy Spirit is about, one, encountering, but breaking through the awkwardness. So hopefully, this will speak to some of the people who don't feel comfortable kind of letting loose. So here's the deal. In the last couple of weeks, Stacy's talked a lot about doctrine, theology of the Holy Spirit, and given us a good foundation of why and how that looks in the Bible, scripturally speaking. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but in scripture at all, I just want to talk, it's really about my testimony of encounter. Because lately for me, that's what the Lord's been speaking, and when I just am crying out, what does it take, God? I know truth. I can share truth. And I personally keep hearing encounter, encounter, encounter. And the only way that people can encounter Jesus, well, not the only way, but one of the significant ways people can encounter, okay, I'm going to rephrase. The only way people can encounter Jesus through other people is by way of the Holy Spirit. It's where all of our power comes from. It's where all of everything from heaven comes from. And so we have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to really give in significant encounter. He speaks to us. He speaks to us. He speaks through us. He just the smallest things, like that day with the story of the cars. Like the Holy Spirit led that, and it was anointed because he said, do. And so through action also, it doesn't even take fancy words. It doesn't take a lot. It just, when he's on it, it's got a special grace. And then, you know, so scripturally speaking, one thing that has really been with me lately is in Acts chapter 2. And I'm really just going to paraphrase. But we know that Pentecost happened and the fire fell and separated and went over the heads of everyone, and they started speaking in tongues. They were then accused of being drunk on wine, and Peter proceeded to preach that this is not drunkenness that you're seeing, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he preached the word of God, which then related to repentance, baptism, and then more filling of the Holy Spirit. And then the next part of that very same chapter talks about what the church looked like. So I don't think it's coincidental that all of that, what the church looked like in multiplication, they gave what they had. They came, new believers came to the kingdom daily because of the way they were living at that point, united with one heart, right? Some key things that are in that scripture. And I think it's important to notice that we start the chapter with the power of God falling on his people and then what the church looks like. You can't not reconcile those two together because they're in the same chapter. That's important. So, you know, the future of the church a successful church, a healthy church, a church of multiplication starts with the Holy Spirit. I'm a practical person. I'm a man. I do not function on emotions in most cases, and I do not like to be uncomfortable emotionally, and I like to be able to explain the way things are and how they are. So that's kind of my thought processes on life in general. So, you know, for me, my background is that I came from a predominantly Catholic family. My parents split. My dad became Presbyterian. He was Baptist, did the Catholic thing for my mom, went Presbyterian for his next wife. And what I found to be true in all of that is, in my Catholic side of the family, I literally was a two-time-a-year Christian. Can anybody guess what two times? Absolutely. They call them C&E Catholics, and that's what I was. But I also did all of the other things, which I can't tell you any of which I learned. Like, I don't know. And then the Presbyterian side of things, as a youth growing up, it seemed like just a hangout. It seemed like a cool place to go where people all got along, and my dad could play softball on the intramural or whatever softball team, and yada, yada. Like, I didn't see a lot of God in any of these places, frankly. And then one day, my dad passed the Presbyterian church, and we went to a different church. Now, mind you, I only saw him every few weeks in a month or whatever, weekends and all that. So, like, they had found a new church. I didn't really know. We just passed the Presbyterian church. I was like, what's going on? So we go to this non-denominational church. And I was like, well, what's that? And they're like, well, we realized that we don't really agree with all of the different religions. And I didn't understand any. I'm like, okay, non-denominational, got it. But I want to back up and say that through my experiences in life, because of the way I am, the way I just explained to you, for a large part of my growing up spiritually, and I wouldn't even say I was growing up spiritually, but my experiences spiritually, being around the quote-unquote crazy people, made me uncomfortable. Because that's not who I was. That's not, I couldn't explain it. It wasn't practical for me to act like that. Like, I just didn't get it, right? But what I will say is that if it hadn't been for the crazy people, and I'll call them bold from here on out, I would have never actually seen the Holy Spirit in its manifestation in people. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should all, you know, like, everybody's got their own way, and for people who know me, know that I'm not overly eccentric, but the Holy Spirit is equally in me as it is in the eccentric people. But I have to figure out what way that I cannot be conservative with the Holy Spirit and still fit my personality. And so that's what I want to talk to you guys about today a little bit, but I'm also going to talk a lot how I got to that place. So hopefully it will give you guys some frame of reference of what I've been through, and hopefully you can relate to some of those things on both ends as being one of the eccentric people and how it was a deterrent, and then also being and also seeing how it was a positive thing for me to experience these things by way of eccentricity, and then also like for everybody to understand that through submittance, the power of the Holy Spirit functions the same way, just looks very differently. So I thank you, bold brothers and sisters, for showing me, because the conservative value of Holy Spirit isn't really a thing. He doesn't want conservative. He just wants you to function as you are, but he wants to do it through you. So I told you guys about my Catholic slash Presbyterian slash now turned currently in the story non-denominational background, which is the first place that I experienced the Holy Spirit in my life at 8 years old. People were getting prayed for at the front of church, and they were falling over, and I wanted no part of it. But being a good son who honors my dad, when he looked at me and wants to please my dad, he looked at me and said, maybe you should go get prayed for, and I couldn't tell him no. But I went up reluctantly, thinking that it was probably not likely that I was going to fall over, because that's not who I am. And I can't tell you verbatim or even like a rough guess of what the actual prayer sounded like. And I had my eyes closed and I stood there sort of like this. And since I had my eyes closed, I can't tell you if the man praying for me had his hand on my head or if it was something else. But I started feeling a pressure. And it got increasingly stronger. And I was like, I am not falling over. Well, I fell over, and then I immediately turned to start to think, like, well, how long do I stay here? I wasn't going to fall over. Maybe I should bounce right back up again. And I tell you that something in the innermost part of me said, just stay here. Just sit here a minute with me. Just relax. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Don't worry about what anybody's doing or seeing. There's tons of people to your left and your right. They're on the ground too. You have permission to be here. And so I relaxed a little bit. Yeah, I think somewhere in there. My memory's 8 to 12. So I laid there, and the storefront, it was a strip mall, essentially. A Texas strip mall that we had made a church out of the front of the building. And so if you're familiar with that, is windows all the way across, maybe a little tint in them, but all of the sunlight of the Texas summer is blasting through the window. And I had my eyes closed, and if you know, like when it's super light out, you could still see the sun through your eyes, right? So I was laying there with my eyes closed, and I was just kind of like receiving the fact that I should just relax a little bit, and I'm in the process of relaxing, still kind of teetering on trying to figure out what's going on around me, and I kept seeing shadows passing by. And I just chalked that up to the fact that it was probably people walking in between me and the windows. And then as I continued to lay there longer, it got dark. And I chalked that up to a big cloud blowing over the sun and just kind of darkening the surrounding area. And I thought that was peculiar. And then as I continued to sit in darkness, a light the size of a pinhole penetrated the darkness. And Jesus' face showed up. It wasn't by definition. It was the outline of what I knew. And at the time, all I knew was the Catholic, flowy-haired Jesus. And so that's what radiated through the light. And I don't think that he had facial features, because he is the light. And so I was very confused. But I got up. I wasn't emotional like I am now, because God's done a lot in me in a short amount of time, and I cry a lot more than I ever have in my life. But I sat down, and my dad put his arm around me, said, what happened down there? And I said, I explained it to him, and he started weeping. So that's one encounter. But I wasn't in an environment, thank you, ma'am. I wasn't in an environment going home to my mom that fostered any growth in that. And so the devil did a really good job of convincing me that what I went through was kind of like just a thing, you know? Like, he downplayed it a bunch and convinced me that it was whatever. And ironically, I don't remember another situation like that at that church. They stayed for some time, and I don't ever remember them doing that again. But I enjoyed going back to church with them, where people actually go for something else, not to meet a need for themselves. You know, like, maybe that was happening, but like, they were going to because they loved something greater than themselves. And that made me want to go. even in my parents' flaws and all of the drama that surrounds my life and with my mom, my stepmom, and my dad, like, there's so many horror stories, but, like, that remained true. And to this day, it's probably one of the biggest factors that made it easy to forgive, because their heart wasn't to hurt me. Even though they did hurt me, that was never their heart. And, you know, it's my new kind of catchphrase is, like, a lot of good intentioned people are unwitting tools of the enemy. And it doesn't mean that they have the enemy in them. It's just that the enemy can speak through people to hurt the areas that I have in me. And what I'm finding, and I'd like to, this is a total caveat to my sermon, but if you find that you've been offended, it's good to go to your brother and your sister and say, this is what's in my heart. Reveal it, and there's a ton of grace for healing through transparency. That's another story, though. I've always been wild. I've always been borderline out of control. I've always been very, I think that sums it up. Yeah. I have lived a life in significant sin in some form or fashion. And there's people out there that are on a farther end of the spectrum, and there's people there's not. I'm not trying to glorify my sin by saying that. I just want you to know that, like, when I feel like because of that encounter, in a way, it drove me further in the opposite direction, in a sense, because of listening to the world. Like, I just didn't have, I got that feeding, and then I didn't have the consistent teaching to go with it. And so I had an encounter, but I didn't have anything else to stand on. And so it wasn't enough to keep me in that, like, as a youth growing up. And then the world teaching that you're, as a man, you have to figure out your own way, and you have to survive, and you have to do all these things. That's how I lived my life. Shut down all the hurt. Like, I just cut it off, and I said, that's in the past, and I'm not going to deal with it. It's over, and I'm just going to move on. And so I became very calloused. I became the exact opposite of what God wanted me to be. I got married to Hillary 12 years ago, and then she was a churchgoer. Our initial conversation was, hey, we both believe in Jesus. He should be pretty important in our marriage, even though we weren't living like it whatsoever. And that was not the start of our relationship, but it quickly became the foundation. But I still had no clue what that looked like. And then we went to various churches, leaving out denominations for the sake of slandering denominations, but, like, they were dead churches. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And so, like, I got chose to be on boards based off of my giving. You know, I got chose to be a leader because I was a diligent giver, and I was so messed up and in no place to be a decision maker, but yet, because that's how they function, that's how I was chosen. But God is good, and he showed me through a lot of these meetings that there weren't a lot of decisions. Like, I at least knew that if I was going to make a decision, God needed to be behind it, even if I wasn't living the way that I felt that I didn't know God spoke. But somehow in that leadership position, I'm like, I haven't prayed about any of these decisions because I was out of town. I come back. You want to make a decision. I don't think you guys have prayed about it at all. You're being driven by money, and I'm not going to make a decision on this. I ruffled a lot of feathers, and I quit shortly after that because I realized that it was so perverse in the way it was working. But through all those years, Hillary had a very strong desire for spiritual realities that I couldn't fathom. I didn't get it, and to me, my wife was a weirdo, because the churches we went to, there was no weirdos, and she wanted to be weird, and I was like, this is great. I'm super uncomfortable with all the desire to be weird, and she would tell me all the time, like, my prayer is that we, essentially in my own words, could be weird together. So we would do things like go to Power and Love conferences where I didn't even believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. And I would listen to all the preaching, and then they would do activations. So the first activation that happened, they were like, I want you to go to lunch, have a good time, whatever, but on your way to lunch, you're going to encounter somebody. Right now, I need you to take a few minutes and pray about the person you're going to encounter. Whatever image, whatever word, whatever voice that you hear, go with it, and when you encounter that person, minister to them. So I closed my eyes, and I didn't even pray. Immediately saw a baseball on a baseball bat, and we're in downtown, not Augusta. Where's Fort Bragg, Benning? Columbus, Georgia. We're downtown Columbus, Georgia. And I was like, there's no, and there's like a festival and stuff. I was like, there's no baseball bat in downtown Columbus, Georgia. This should be really interesting. And so we went along, and all the weird people or the bold people would see the person they prayed for. They'd pray for them, and these people would get healed. I watched legs extend. I mean, I saw a lot of physical manifestations of miracles, which I didn't think that I had any ability to be a part of because that's not my character, my personality. God has to use me in a more like realistic way. So we're walking, we go to lunch, and I'm like, told you, God, no baseball and baseball bat. And Hillary's like, just be patient, just keep your eye out, just it's gonna show up. And I'm gonna tell you this. I wouldn't say that I hadn't heard the Holy Spirit ever, but I didn't know what it sounded like, because nobody ever taught me. And so I walked by a gentleman that had a baseball bat tattooed down his length of his arm with a baseball on his wrist. Who has ever seen that? What are the odds? And I walked by and I was like, nope. No. And I'm stupid, because my answer was no. And I walked by and I was like, ooh. Hey, Hillary, I just saw the baseball bat. What are you going to do? I'm going to keep walking. No, you're not. You're not going. God, you got to go. God wants you to talk to him. And I had no clue. And he was with his son, and he was a big dude. Like, I'm not small. And I was like, he's going to pound my face in. So I was like, hey, bro, I need to talk to you. And he's like, what's up? And I was like, I prayed about a sign, and I got a baseball and a baseball bat, and you got one, and I need to talk to you about God. And he said, not doing it, dude. I'm here with my son, and we're here to relax, and I'm not doing it. I said, can I just have a minute? And he said, no. And I said, okay, that's fair, man. I just want you to know God loves you enough to show me that he wanted you to know that, like specifically. And that's all I said, and I walked away. And then I heard a really audible voice that said PTSD. And so I just prayed from a distance, and I said, I break off whatever that looks like. And I didn't even know how to pray those prayers at the time. I just said, take PTSD from him, God, so that he'd know that me speaking to him and freedom from that is correlated to you. And I went on about my business. And there was some other things that happened. And the last activation was find someone next to you, spend a second, look for the Holy Spirit to give you something for them so that you can bless them as we leave here. So I turned around, I looked at this guy, and I've talked in the past about seeing things in the spirit and hearing things in the spirit. I looked at this guy, and I saw Brian McKnight, and he's a 1990s R&B singer, but he had a very specific symbol. I think it's called the treble clef. That's what I saw. And I correlated it directly to that singer because that's the only really tie that I have to it, because I liked his music in the 90s. And it was awkward for me because the gentleman was black, and I felt like he was probably going to think that I'm some kind of racist for tying him to a black singer or something. And not knowing how the Holy Spirit works and all of that made me very reluctant to share, and I struggled with it. And he looked at me with desperate eyes. He's like, please, just tell me. And I said, okay. I looked at you for a second. I saw that sign, the music sign that goes like this. And he broke. And he said, tell me more. And I said, I correlate that to Brian McKnight. And what I think God is trying to tell me by the symbol is that he wants you to make music. And he broke more. And through his tears, he said, this is why I came here. I was given the gift to write and read and sing and play music at a very early age that I lost the ability to do so through some things that happened in my life. And I've been desperately seeking God to ask permission to make an album. And I don't want to pick up another instrument until he says I can. And you just gave me that permission. So, I'm a guy at this point in time that doesn't even believe in this stuff. It goes along a lot with what Stacy said last week about when we shift our eyes from within ourselves to outward, is a lot of times when the Holy Spirit's going to say, bam, this is what it's about. This is what I need you to do. This is, he gives us a mission. Even if we're not right where we think we should be. So we had to change our churches because we went through some significant marital issues. And the churches that we were with only had one leader. One person solid enough to give any kind of counsel. And they were running an entire church and had no time for us. Thank God for my wife. I need to back up because part of the story is we went to a revival service at this church that we ended up at later where a man came to preach and I experienced the manifest presence of heaven. Like he said, people want healing, come get healing, but come down the middle row. And I'm condensing the story. But I came down the middle row, and by the third chair, I felt like I was getting electrocuted. And when I got to the first chair, I thought I was on fire, and I didn't believe. I mean, I believed when it happened, but when I went up, I wouldn't have guessed that that was going to be a thing. I didn't believe prior, and so it opened my eyes a little bit more. And I had back problems, and so when I took a knee at the front, people came and prayed, and every one of them with different gaps in time put their hand right on the spot on my back that was in pain. And then I went and I sat back down and I was like, my back doesn't hurt. How is this a thing? My back has hurt for 5 years. And I was like, just testing. He had a great sermon and it was amazing and all that, but like I was so amazed that my back didn't hurt. It didn't create a radical transformation, but it did show me a taste of God's love for me. So we ended up back at that church by way of just needing help. We were desperate. And so we ended up there, and they were such a healthy church that they had several people. And we had to bounce around a little bit because we had such issues that it took more than one person. But sometimes it takes a tribe, right? Sometimes once we get maxed out on what we can give, it's time to send them to the next person. And for the people that get bounced around like that, you're not messed up. Like it is just God using different giftings, callings, purposes that people have been through to bring you back to full healing and restoration. And I can say that our story didn't end with that church. We came here with some issues. And thanks to Stacy and Casey and being desperate enough to drive to Tampa, Florida for some deliverance and coming back and continue to fight through the worst part of our life, and I can say that with confidence that that is and was the worst part and it's behind us, is that, God was faithful every step that we surrendered to the next level of care. A lot of you guys know my left-handed testimony. What's funny is just out of, preparation for this, and actually Hillary had the desire to, but she went back. She's been on a kind of a mission to go back and find all of the words that were spoken over us at different times to, to keep them present, which is awesome because in that season, we got spoken over a ton in our most broken part, and it was like people didn't even know us because we're at a new church, and then people would come out of town and speak life over us again, and it was like, wow, God must really love us, but I still had my doubts. And I was sitting in church one day, and she pulled the service up, and I skimmed through it one night before I went to bed, and no wonder, she even said, no wonder you were upset, because so much encounter was happening that, they couldn't even get through the announcements. The dude who was supposed to give the announcements cried for 10 minutes before they quit trying. It was just, the presence was really heavy, and I didn't feel any of it, but I could see it. And I was so just convinced that I was such a sinner that I wasn't meant to be a part of the kingdom. And I told God, if you don't show up, I'm walking out of everything today because I've risked it all. I was honest with my wife about being a cheater. I have laid myself out there in every way possible, taking counsel from man, and I have tried, and I'm done. As of today, if you don't do something, I'm done. I'm going to tell you that what I experienced and what I saw in that video are two totally different things. Totally different. The words that I heard were not the words that he spoke. Some of them were, but I can tell you the whole story that I heard in that moment, in that time. The background, he said five words, and I got this huge download that just wrecked me. Which changed, that was the fulcrum to the change in my life. This is all Holy Spirit, okay? So just stay with me as far as, I just want to share. Because if these people hadn't been obedient, I wouldn't be here, okay? And so, and it's also funny, the Holy Spirit, God, heaven, is not going to bring you into a place before you're ready. Because back a few years prior, I was at the Power and Love, and people try to baptize me in the Holy Spirit, and I looked at them like they're nuts. You can pray for me, that's cool. All right, thanks, later. And nothing happened. But I believe a seed was planted, but my doubt was stronger than their faith in that moment. I just was close to that idea. I could not get my mind wrapped around it. And so now I had this significant encounter where Jesus was literally, I'm going to take you through all the hurts and I'm going to show you where the devil had his hand on it. And he removed it from my heart. Then a couple weeks later, the pastor, I just feel like every Sunday the pastor was God was I was his mission and he didn't know it. And so he's okay, now it's time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was because I had this encounter, now my view, my lens was totally different. I was no, I don't want to do this. It's still not me. I still correlated it to being eccentric. But I seen these mighty men of God exercise these gifts, because prior to that, no offense, ladies, it was always the women. And so when I stepped into a place where the men were exercising these gifts, it gave me permission to say yes. And they were doing it in a more of a way that I can relate to. And it gave me permission. And so with boldness in faith, putting myself really, really far out there for me, I walked up. And it didn't go like what I think most people experience when it's like that. It just didn't. He had us all stand up front and face the stage, face forward. And he just asked everybody behind us to pray in the Spirit and to not focus on us. And he said, he just started speaking truth. You're talking yourself out of this. I need you to clear your mind. Clear your mind. Don't talk yourself out of this and speak the first sound that comes to your mouth. And that's how it started. As I exercised it, I was convinced I was speaking a language from the devil, because every time I did, like, something very significantly negative would happen to me. Like, we were getting ready to invade North Korea, if nobody knew that, and we were getting a bunch of shots to go do so. And I got Japanese encephalitis shot, and so did my whole company, and nobody got sick but me. I'm convinced it's because I was speaking in my prayer language that morning, all the way from my house to the truck to work, into work. And when I got through the front door, I go get the shot, and I got 103 fever for 3 days, and I was hallucinating and all kinds of craziness. And it was just, that's just one small thing, but like, the enemy was threatened by my new discovery. And so it, like, I would, me and Hillary would have blow up, knock down, drag out fights. I'm like, dude, every time I do this, it's like immediate. Like, I didn't even make it through the day I got sick, you know, and then I don't even make it through, like, I'm just like, I'm going to try this, you know, like, that was my approach. It's like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to try this. And then, bam, oh, where is this prayer language coming from? It's dangerous. But I pushed through, and on the backside of all of that, trying to distract me from actually jumping in headlong, I get more from heaven now when that happens. It's like it unlocks a gateway for God to say, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. So there's mighty, mighty, mighty power, and it doesn't always come like hitting the floor, shaking, and all of that. Sometimes it comes from just a sound, and it develops out of one sound. And so if you, I mean, we're a church that a lot of people have it. If there's anybody in here that doesn't have a prayer language that is even remotely interested, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. So yeah, a bunch of chaos happened after that, but I pushed through and just God did amazing and wonderful things. So after I was fully healed, after I had received my prayer language, baptized in the Holy Ghost, after I was like, where do I go from here? I still am like a baby. I don't have a clue. And I just started asking, what do I do now, God? Like, what do I do now? And after probably 10 minutes of just seeking him like that, he said, thank me. That's all I want. And I know a lot of you guys have heard all of this in bits and pieces. Thank me. So I said, okay. So a whole worship set would go by, and I'm just like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry I don't know anything else to say to you, but thank you. Thank you. And it's the only open vision I ever had, but heaven literally opened up above me, and I could see his feet, and a booming laugh came from heaven. And he said, I love you so much. There's some power in thanking him. Thank him for what he's brought you through. We don't have to religionize the process. We just have to just be us. And we have to trust that he's in us. And we have to just talk to him like you talk to your parents. Like you, when you're brokenhearted, just talk to him like you're brokenhearted. Don't bring it in a certain kind of way. He literally died so that we wouldn't have to sacrifice an animal to get him to hear us. And that's basically what we're doing by trying to fancy it up. We're making a sacrifice at an altar and saying, is this pleasing to you? We don't need to do that. And in my most tender, desperate moments to try to connect is when he is like, I'm proud. I'm going to reward this. Not because the other stuff doesn't make him proud, just like in those like those surrendering moments, he's there and he's pleased because I'm starting to get it, right? Like, yes, you understand my heart. It's like David was a messed up man, but he still managed to say he's a man after my own heart because he knew God's heart. And despite his flaws, he brought joy to God. So, it's a bunch of stories to tell you that a guy who didn't believe, a guy who didn't think that he earned his way, a guy that was so messed up that at some points I was willing to go to hell for secrets, a guy that just so rejected, hurt, lost, abandoned, so callous to the world because he couldn't trust anybody. God didn't give up on that guy. God used people. He allowed the Holy Spirit. They allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through them, even if they didn't know that they had that ability. Most of them probably did. And more importantly, he used me as an agent for the Holy Spirit to operate through in times that I didn't believe. I just want to offer the idea to you guys that there is no box. There is no right way. I want to ask you guys to have grace and mercy for the ones who don't believe it, to tolerate the ones who do and that act wild and crazy. That might be the only experience that you get to have of seeing somebody so free that it's going to actually allow you to be free down the road, even if you don't buy it today. I want to just tell you that no matter where you are, if you change your focus from inward to outward and you start trying to see the world from a different view, it's possible that God can speak. And just like I told you, when I was sitting there, like I'm walking away, he's still faithful to show up. So if there's someone in here that feels like this is their last day, I want to say stay one more day. Don't give up on the process. Don't allow what the lies of religion has tried to tell us what the kingdom is like. He loves you. When you were dancing up here, I was overcome with emotion because your smile and the joy that you had while you were up here, and I think it was right to ask her to come up front. And I thank you for saying yes to that because I know it might have been uncomfortable. But it wasn't just me that it touched. And that's the other thing is like those small actions of dancing can set someone free for something that I was feeling a weight before that, and I don't know where the weight came from, but I could not help but cry at your grace up here. When Reagan plays the violin, that's another time. When Braden plays the guitar, these gifts that God has given each and every one of you guys is wonderful. Don't withhold it, and know that it's not just you that you're trying to make better when you're practicing and perfecting your craft. You're setting people free. You're bringing the presence of heaven through your hands. Gage, the way you played the drums this morning is with passion. The energy that we exude in here this morning is no other way to explain it but that heaven showed up. And I am super thankful for a house of people who's willing to say no to the rules, the regulations, the boundaries, and the prohibitors that restrict God and his presence, that restrict the free flowing and abundance of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, I'm just really appreciative. And I just want to invite everyone, because I heard this week and I just think it's so good. And I've said it a million times. You know, Romans chapter 8 says the mature believer follows the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Be impulsive. Be impulsive. Allow yourself to do something a little bit outside of your box and be impulsive. If you think for a second that God said something, or you just don't know his voice clearly, and you can say whatever, and even to this day, if I get a random thought, I go for it. Go for it. Because if he only spoke to you five times, and this is the quote really, is if he only speaks to you five times, then you got it right. Or if he speaks to you 10 times and you only and he actually only spoke to you five, meaning the other five were something else, you're gonna have been successful five times because he was behind it. And for the other five that he wasn't, he's gonna give the grace because your heart was for him. Something miraculous will still happen by way of just saying yes, even if it was you. So don't limit yourself saying I'm unclear. Go for it. Be mature this morning. And be impulsive. I think I'm done.